Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 74 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English and can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Podcast.de, Blue Sky and Instagram. There's also a music-based partner project on YouTube called HLIT AI Music.
The topic of this episode.
This episode focuses on Switzerland during World War II, specifically on one aspect of the air war. It's certainly common knowledge that there were several air battles over Switzerland, both between the Germans and the Swiss and between the Allies and the Swiss. However, a fascinating aspect is the types and number of aircraft that landed in Switzerland during the war and what happened to them. It's intriguing to read about who, what, and how many landed on this island of neutrality in the heart of Europe during the war.
Political agenda and background.
Nothing special, except perhaps the observation that neutrality in war is not always synonymous with peace and quiet. Many small European states certainly know this from their experiences in two world wars, and by now many Gulf states also from the war waged by the US and Israel against Iran. But many people outside these countries probably don't.
The sources that were used.
Besides internet sources, I primarily use the book Switzerland on the Edge of War by Janusz Pikalkiewicz, published by F.A. Herbig Verlagsbuchhandlung Munich, Berlin, 1997. At the outbreak of war in September 39, Switzerland, like many others, declared its neutrality. However, the readiness of the Swiss armed forces was significantly increased during the war, and a defense strategy was developed in the event of a German attack. I can elaborate on that if there's interest. This episode, however, focuses on the aspect of aerial warfare. In principle, neutral airspace is closed to belligerent parties in the event of war. A neutral country is even obligated to force aircraft from belligerent nations to land. Otherwise, it is guilty of collaboration. An example from the naval world is the story of the pocket battleship Graf Spee, which faced internment in Uruguay. More on that in episode 71. With ships and ground troops, this might be relatively easy. After all, they are slow and usually few in number. Enforcing neutrality is more difficult with aircraft, as they are fast, and belligerent nations typically have significantly more aircraft than neutral states. During World War II, the situation was further complicated by the fact that Switzerland lacked any radar for airspace surveillance and therefore could not prepare for border violations. The country was entirely dependent on observers and patrol flights, and even then this only worked during the day. At night, anti-aircraft fire was the only means Switzerland could employ to secure its airspace. Furthermore, the Swiss Air Force's equipment was inadequate to compete with the belligerent parties. At the outbreak of war, the Swiss Air Force possessed 40 modern Me-109 fighter aircraft in the D and E versions, as well as 8 French Morin-Saulnier MS-406 fighters. In addition, it had 2 EFW C-3603 combat aircraft, which Switzerland produced itself. A few other combat aircraft, reconnaissance planes and trainers were also available. This was sufficient for peacetime operations, but not for war, especially when supplies from abroad were cut off. By the end of the war, the Swiss had increased their inventory to approximately 100 Me-109s of various variants, 200 MS-406s produced under license, and 150 C-3603s. However, these aircraft could not compete with either the German or the Allied forces in terms of quality in the long run. Airspace violations over Switzerland occurred virtually from day one of the war. Both the Allies and the Germans used Swiss airspace for shortcuts or a safe retreat. The number of violations depended on which side had the air superiority and where the main battle line lay. From autumn 39 until the French surrender in June 1940, there were numerous airspace violations, after which they initially decreased somewhat. At first, Switzerland limited itself to diplomatic protests, which were, however, ignored, especially in Berlin. From spring 1940 onward, Switzerland changed its stance and began aggressively attacking airspace violators. Anti-aircraft fire was opened and Swiss interceptors became active. This led to dogfights, especially between the German Luftwaffe and the Swiss. In early June 1940, Swiss Lieutenant Rickenbacher was killed as a result of dogfights with the Germans. To punish the Swiss, Luftwaffe chief Göring deliberately ordered 30 Me-110 heavy fighters to violate Swiss airspace on June 8, 1940. They shot down an unarmed reconnaissance aircraft and then waited for the arrival of the Swiss Air Force, which engaged them with 12 Me-109s. The toll of the air battles in early June was 3 losses for the Swiss and 11 for the Germans. Since this result did not meet German expectations, 9 saboteurs were sent to Switzerland with the objective of destroying Swiss aircraft on the ground with explosives. However, all 9 saboteurs failed. 8 of them were captured and sentenced to life imprisonment. The German Reich reacted with massive pressure and threats, which is why at the end of June 1940, the Swiss refrained from active air combat in cases of airspace violations. The situation eased after the surrender of France. The Swiss stance was influenced by the fact that the German Reich had already occupied a number of neutral countries by the spring of 1940. Luxembourg, Belgium, the Netherlands, Denmark, and Norway. A German occupation of Switzerland was therefore a very real threat. The Wehrmacht had already drawn up corresponding plans. From 1940 onward, British night bombers became an increasing problem. The British used Swiss airspace, among other things, as a safe retreat. Sometimes, however, they simply got lost. After all, navigation systems at that time were not yet perfect. As a result of misunderstandings and emergency drops, Swiss towns and villages were bombed. Without radar and night fighters, the Swiss could hardly defend themselves. New pressure from Germany forced Switzerland to participate at least indirectly in night defense. As a first step, starting in September 1940, Switzerland imposed a night radio silence from 10 p.m. onward to prevent British bombers from using Swiss radio stations for navigation. From November 1940, a blackout was also in effect, starting at 10 p.m. From the summer of 1943 onward, American day bombers increasingly appeared on the scene. Unlike the British, however, they did not appear individually, but in large formations. In case the Swiss Air Force had to take action, precautions had been taken. After all, Switzerland also flew German Me-109s, meaning the risk of confusion was very high. The Swiss therefore painted their Me-109s with highly conspicuous markings. This was not always effective, however, and more than once, Swiss Me-109s were attacked by nervous Allied fighter pilots. Airspace violations increased significantly from 1943 onward, and consequently air raid sirens sounded more and more frequently in Switzerland. In 1943, there were 496 air raid alarms, or about 1.5 per day. By 1944, this number had risen to 3,341, or about 9 per day. Between January and May 1945, 2,480 air raid alarms were sounded, which is about 19 times a day. The blackout was lifted in September 44. Allied navigation and radar systems had become so advanced that blackouts offered little additional protection. On the contrary, ground lighting was intended to clearly signal to Allied pilots in the air where Switzerland began. The hope was that this would result in fewer airspace violations and bombings. While there were some high-ranking Allied visits to Switzerland to address the issue of airspace violations, such as the visit of General Spaatz, Commander-in-Chief of the US Air Force in Europe in March 1945, nothing changed. In April 45 alone, there were 650 airspace violations, roughly 20 per day. The number and intensity of the bombings also increased. The tragic climax was reached on April 1, 1944, when a heavy American air raid on Schaffhausen killed 40 people and injured 100. The Americans had mistaken Schaffhausen for Tuttlingen in southern Germany, and for a long time the rumor persisted that this was a deliberate attack to target Schaffhausen's industry, which supplied goods to the German armaments industry. In 1949, the USA paid 62 million Swiss francs in compensation. Let's now take a closer look at the aircraft that landed or crashed in Switzerland during the war. The first was a German Dornier Do 17 medium bomber, which landed in Switzerland on April 21, 1940. The last aircraft, a Fieseler Storch, reached Switzerland on May 8, 1945 at 7:10 p.m., just a few hours before the unconditional surrender. On board were three soldiers who had fled from the Hungarian front, presumably to avoid Soviet captivity. In Janusz Pikalkiewicz's book, starting on page 349, you can find a detailed list of all the aircraft that came down in Switzerland in one way or another. And if I haven't miscounted, the result looks like this. German aircraft 36, British aircraft 13, Italian aircraft 4, American aircraft 163, other 25. That's almost 250 aircraft in total, most of them from America. What exactly did the Swiss receive? From Germany came 7 Me-109s, 8 Me-110s, a handful of medium bombers such as the Do 17, HE-111 and U-88, as well as several multi-purpose aircraft like the Fieseler Storch, U-52 and Me-108. Three aircraft stand out in particular. On April 28, 1944, a modern Me-110G night fighter, equipped with a state-of-the-art Liechtenstein SN-2 radar, mistakenly landed in Switzerland. The German Luftwaffe was in a state of high alert, fearing that the Allies would somehow get their hands on the Me-110's advanced radar equipment. A deal was therefore struck with Switzerland. In the presence of German observers, the Me-110 was destroyed, and in return Switzerland received 12 modern Me-109G day fighters. Both sides honored the agreement. The Swiss were therefore only able to examine the Liechtenstein SN-2 briefly, but that already helped in the development of their own radar systems. The second remarkable aircraft was a Siebel SE-204, a transport plane, that landed in Switzerland on May 7, 1945. On board, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, this Arab anti-Semite, allied with the Germans, had, among other things, helped to establish a Muslim unit for the Waffen-SS and now had to quickly escape the collapsing Reich. Equally sensational was the landing of an Me-262 jet fighter in Dübendorf on April 25, 1945. On board was Oberfähnrich Hans Guido Muttke, who served with the 9th Squadron of Jagdgeschwader 7. The exact circumstances of the landing, whether it was an escape or an emergency landing, were never fully clarified, although some evidence points to an escape. The Me-262 was in perfect working order, but was only inspected on the ground and not flown. In 1957, the Swiss handed the aircraft over to the German Museum in Munich, and the White 3 is still there today. From Great Britain came primarily bombers, including several Mosquitoes, a Wellington, several Lancasters, and a Spitfire. From Italy came a few fighter planes, a Fiat G50, a Mach 205, and two Fiat CR-42s. However, by far the largest share of aircraft came from America. No fewer than 82 B-24 Liberators and 76 B-17 Flying Fortresses landed in Switzerland. In addition, there were a few P-51 Mustangs, P-47 Thunderbolts, one B-25 Mitchell, and one B-26 Marauder. How did Switzerland deal with these aircraft? Naturally, all aircraft were thoroughly inspected. All bombers were grounded and guarded. Switzerland had no use for them. Trainers, transports, and multipurpose aircraft, mostly from Germany, were either integrated into the Swiss Air Force or used as spare parts depots. A few combat aircraft, including the Me-109s, were acquired or also cannibalized for parts. After the war, some of the Allied aircraft were flown back to their home countries. However, many remained in Switzerland and were scrapped there. The same was true for the aircraft of the Axis powers. Aluminium, in particular, was a highly sought-after raw material for the post-war economy. One of the P-51s that landed in Switzerland was studied in detail and tested by the Swiss Air Force. This played a significant role in Switzerland's purchase of 100 Mustangs from surplus stocks in the USA in 1948. The record day for Allied aircraft landings in Switzerland was April 24, 1944, when 14 B-17s and B-24s landed in Zurich or crashed in the surrounding area in a single day. One must be careful when considering the motivations of the crews. Given what we know about World War II from movies and books, we are sometimes subject to distorted portrayals. Therefore, it's understandable to assume that most of the Germans who landed were fleeing the front lines, and that most of the Allied pilots who landed wouldn't have made it to their own lines and were thus fleeing capture. However, this isn't always accurate. On page 296, regarding the motivations of Allied crews who landed in Switzerland, it states, "In most cases, it was found that the crews preferred internment to further combat against the enemy." That this isn't mentioned in heroic narratives is understandable. One must not forget that the air war over Europe was harsh, brutal, and deadly. Internment could therefore seem tempting.
A few finishing words.
Switzerland was neutral during the war, but was nonetheless affected. The Swiss Army was on constant alert, and the Swiss Air Force and anti-aircraft artillery were equally active and under considerable strain. The Swiss population suffered from bombings, trade problems. After all, from 1940 to 44, they were surrounded only by Germany and its allies, blackouts, and radio silence. Neutrality, therefore, by no means implies that the war passes you by. The saying, "Imagine there's a war and nobody goes," is unfortunately often followed by the response, "Then the war comes to you."
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.